About 1:30 in the morning, I woke up and started studying what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I've been studying this chapter, this portion of the Bible for over a week now, since Albert asked me if I would give the study for this Sunday morning. And I said, sure. My situation was this. Sometimes, you know, I've been preaching for a long time, but I don't care who it is. You get nervous. You get nervous when you come up here and start teaching or start saying something. So I guess I was nervous last night about 1:30, so I got up and I started studying off and on, didn't go back to sleep, study, wake up and go back to sleep. To make a long story short, everybody that is here this morning was there last night about 1:30. So I said, they all know what the questions I'm going to ask, so they all should know the answers. As a matter of fact, I even told Esmond Johnson this morning, if she better study 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. And she says, my Bible doesn't have those verses. I says, don't worry about it. I says, you're going to find one right away because I'm going to ask you some questions. Here's the situation. Wednesday, because if you know, we haven't been coming Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. My vision is getting terrible. I mean, you know what they say, every time you close your eyes, you can't see. I leave mine open, I still can't see. So I'm getting to where the situation is pretty bad for me, personally. My situation is this. When Brother Albert started the study Wednesday, I says, hopefully he doesn't go through all those verses that I'm going to be studying this Sunday, which is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. So I'm going to ask two brothers to please, have we got that microphone anywhere? Where's the microphone at? Because I want to, hopefully, I'm going to have Albert do some work here. I guess he's going to be running around. Why don't you put Adam to run around with that microphone, Albert? Give the microphone to Brother Boson, please. And I want Brother Boson to read chapter 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Before we start, everybody, please read it yourselves. And if you have, after we read these verses, if you have some kind of commentary, if you have some kind of thing you want to say, let's work this out together. I'm going to be moving that microphone, so if you have a question or if you have a comment, please raise your hand, and I guess you're it, Brother Albert. He's going to be moving that microphone. So, Brother Boson, would you please read those verses?
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by grace, Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Now give it to Alex Hermano, please. So hopefully somebody has a different version than mine. And if you have, please let me know so you can read it too, if you have a different version. Brother Alex?
That was the verse that you gave me.
Yes. Everybody's going to read the same thing, brother.
It's the same
version? Okay, then you don't have to read it then. It's fine. Does anybody have a different version of 1 Peter that can help us? Nobody does? Okay, then I'm going to start asking questions because I started asking myself last night, like I said, about 1:30 in the morning. My question is this. Who is and I'm gonna be using the word spiritual, spirit, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired Peter to speak the Word. So I'm gonna be asking you questions so that you can answer. But again, when you have an answer, raise your hand and Albert will give you the microphone so you can give me that answer. My first question is this. Who is the Holy Spirit speaking to in these verses? If you have an answer, raise your hand. The church? Brother Jim? Okay, anybody else? Who is the church? I am. We are. So that is something that is very important. We are. Sister Wilson, were you going to say something?
I was going to say that the people, the members.
The members are the ones they're talking to, which is correct. It's important. So if it's talking to the members, to you and me, as members of the church, what is it telling us? What is the Holy Spirit telling us when it says, first of all, it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. What is the Holy Spirit telling us individually? Let's go, Sister Lucy, speak up. Give Lucy I know she's anxious, brother. Give her the microphone. I told you I was going to ask you, lady.
He's telling us to be humble.
Be humble. What does humble mean, brother Ron?
To have a one who is not overly proud or anything like that, but has a more meekness in their disposition. They come with that humility, that like a servant. It's the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Right.
So that's the previous verse. So, and casting all your care. I know you're going to come to that, which is our trust. We have to trust. We're trusting, placing all our trust in God Almighty, and come in the spirit of humility, being humble, because he will exalt you in due time. God, that's where you see God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
I ask myself, and we should all ask ourselves this question. What are we compared to God? Honest and truly, we're nothing. We're nothing. The love of God is so great for us that he himself humbled himself to come as a child through Christ, live a perfect life so that we could get salvation as a gift. But let me tell you something. Not everyone wants this gift. Did you know that? There's a lot of people that are rejecting our Lord and Savior even today. When it's due time, not when we want it, not when I want it, in due time, the Lord will exalt each and every one of us that humbles himself and is there for him. That is one thing that is important. And we have to realize this. Sometimes we don't understand this. Sometimes, let me give you an example. We don't know it all. But what I really love is verse 8. Brother Ron, would you read it for me? Verse 8. Here comes Albert. And again, if you have a question or something, raise your hand.
Be sober. Be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Think about that. And he's talking about everybody that's in the church. You know, Brother Albert started this study, and I'm not going to interfere with his study either, like he didn't interfere with mine. But let me tell you one thing. The devil, you know how it says it used to say back then, I don't even know if it says it anymore, I want you, when the government wanted you. You go into the army, you go whatever, but the devil wants each and every one of us. It's that simple. He wants each and every one of us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the church. I mean, I used to love to see those programs where Animal Kingdom. I used to love those programs. But then there for a while, I started having pity on those poor animals. I mean, that lion goes up and captures that whatever it is, and I mean, they destroy them. They tear them apart. And that's something that the devil wants to do to us spiritual-wise. He wants to tear us apart. He doesn't want you or I to grow in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. He wants us to, I don't know nothing. And the reason we don't know nothing is because we don't study. That's the reason we don't know. I mean, I've always loved to ask this question. How many times do you study the Word of God? How many times do you get up in the morning? I'm not going to give you no way to study the Bible. You might study it in the morning. You might study it in the afternoon or whenever. But how many times do you study the Bible? You know, I know the Lord uses many ways to remind us that He is still in control of this world. But one thing that is important, He is in control of the church. He is in control of my life, your life, and everybody's life. So He uses things, objects, persons, to remind us that He still is in control. But you have to give Him credit. You know, I'm bad at names, okay? I'm looking at her and I can't remember her name. I think it's Brother Jim's daughter, Carolyn, okay, or something like that. She was talking a while ago. She says, you know, my body is hurting all over. Guess what? So's mine. But you know, I personally think, and this is just my opinion, I personally think that the Lord uses that hurt for us to, Lord, help me. Ask for help. Put Him in His place. Let Him know that we still depend on Him. You know, I talk to the Lord a lot because I hurt a lot. And I tell Him, you know, Lord, I think I've already learned my lesson. So I want to ease up on that hurting. You notice that I got this leg swinging? Guess what? I can't put too much pressure on it. But I love coming up here and teaching. I love coming up here and preaching. I love talking to my brothers about Christ. How beautiful He is, how He loved us so much that He went through everything that was necessary to give us salvation if we wanted. And sometimes it's the devil, okay, that is trying to destroy us. The devil might say, well, how come? I mean, look at your situation. You believe in God? Look at your situation. It is because I believe in God that we have to continue on and be sober and be vigilant, because we know that he is trying to devour us. So, I have a question on verse number 8. I'm going to read it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he could devour. Besides that, what else do you get out of this verse? If you have an answer, raise your hand. Poor Albert, he's already sitting down, and I'm going to get him up. Brother Ron. And you know, Ron and I are not the only ones that can do this study. Everybody can speak, okay?
Well, the adversary is the opponent.
Okay.
The devil, Satan, is our opponent. He is against us. And that's why we have to be vigilant or watchful, because he's not going to take time out to keep us from worshiping God and from living a Christian life. He's always out to see, how can I wreck this person's Christianity? How can I help them lose faith? So he is our opponent. He's against us, and he's on the prowl, as we say. He's walking to and fro. If you remember the book of Job, what are you doing, Satan, when he was invited there where the sons of God were? And he says, I'm walking to and fro, up and down in the earth. In the same way he's doing. He's looking for whom he can take down. And he tried that with Job,
okay,
if you remember.
Okay, I'm still looking for something else. Brother John.
All right, what I get from it is that it's saying be vigilant, because the devil's there ready to deceive you, to get you on the wrong path. That if you're not alert and you're not vigilant, it's just easy to be deceived. It's easy to start saying, oh, I've got this Christian life. I can do this myself. No, we need to always be conscious that we're submitting to God's will or our will. And once we start doing things our own way, we're off on that wrong path. We're going to end up on the wrong end there.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Anybody else, Brother Voshen?
You know, the devil, he makes sin look good. You know, to where you want to sin, because he's making it look so good for you. But at the end, you know, he's going to ruin you spiritually, physically, and emotionally. So there's never going to be a good outcome.
Okay. Here's what I see in this verse 2, okay? Everybody is correct. But the Lord is warning us, okay? He's letting us know ahead of time what could happen with the individual. Overconfident, like Brother John was saying. The devil is roaming around, like Brother Ron says in Job. But the Holy Spirit is warning us. Be careful. Don't be overconfident. You know, if I would ask somebody, how many that are here have been Christians over, I'm going to use just numbers, have been over 40 years a Christian. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think I counted 8. 9. How about 50 years? 1, 2, I think. On 2, I think. But has the devil stopped tempting us? The devil is perfect. He does his work, okay? He will try to destroy us. He will try to destroy you. He will try to destroy me. He will try to destroy everyone in this church. Doesn't make no difference if you're an elder, you're a deacon, you're a preacher, you're a Christian. He wants to destroy you. You know, we have a lot of cases in the Bible where even Paul said, beware of this guy. When I say this guy, I know the name is Spanish, but I don't know it in English. Or I can't pronounce it. And then he says, beware of this other two. Because they're out there to... He's caused me a lot of problems. So what were those guys doing? Trying to destroy Paul, but at the same time, destroying the church. Destroying the brotherhood. So we, as Christians, have to be careful, alert. We have to be on the lookout. You know that Bible, that verse that says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Remember that one? 21 to 23, I think. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of our Lord, which is in heaven. You know, I was going to speak to the non-Christians this morning. But I think everybody here, as far as I can see, they're all Christians here. Which is great. Which is great. I was going to give you the plan of salvation and all that to become a Christian. And I know maybe on YouTube or whatever they're listening, but to be a Christian, let me put it this way. If you're not a Christian, the devil is not worried about you. He's got you in the palm of his hands. Simple. And I hate to say that, but it's that simple. We have to do what the Lord tells us to do. And I've heard people say, well, you don't have to do this, but what does Christ say? That's the main deal. Christ says, I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But then he says, the word that I have spoken, that will judge the world at the end. And Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So do we have to believe? Yes. Do we have to hear? Yes. Do we have to... We don't have to confess our sins like a lot of people say. We have to confess that Christ is the Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior. So let's think about that. And the Lord has given us a warning. I want you to go, let's go to John chapter 16, verse 33. And I know this verse is, I mean, we've heard him a lot of times. We've read him, and we know that. And he was advising the apostles, but at the same time, he's advising us too and giving us comfort. Please, somebody read John chapter 16, verse 33. If somebody's going to read it, please raise your hand. Brother John. I saw Brother John first, so I don't know who wants to read it.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. This is Christ speaking to the apostles, and this is Christ speaking to us as a church, as a Christian. Look at what it says. All the things that Christ had told them is, you know, I'm going to go to death. They're going to kill me. They're going to do everything they want to with me, but I'm going to come back alive. He says, I'm letting you know ahead of time. This is why I'm letting you know about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Lord warns us ahead of time that the devil is going to try to destroy us. He's going to try to ruin us completely. But then, this are the beautiful words. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. This is something beautiful. To have the peace of God in you, on your side, that's the best thing that can happen to anyone. And you have the peace of God in you, after you obey the gospel of Christ and you start growing, growing in Christ, then you get that peace, that assurance. But don't get overconfident like the brother said a while ago. I've got Christ, yes. But I can fall. Remember, Peter fell, and he was one of the apostles. But Christ lets us know, my peace I give you. And that's something beautiful. And you know, I this is a little extra in there. That how much have you grown in Christ? I've seen a lot of the brothers here grow in Christ little by little. I've seen them grow. They're growing. But you know, it's like that that mother that asked her son, "Son, what happened to you? How come you fell off the bed?" And he said, "I guess I stayed too close to where I went in there." Or in other words, he was right at the edge. He fell. And that's something sad. You know, I saw a sister raise her hand that she'd been a Christian over 50 years. And I want to say I've been over about 50 years, or give or take. But if I would ask this sister, how many brothers and sisters have you seen fallen from grace? And she would tell me a lot, because I've seen a lot fall from grace. They start up, I mean, wanting to do, preach Christ, teach. I've seen brothers that went to study as preachers. When I first went to study the Bible, I think all together, if I'm not mistaken, there was about 10 to 12 of us. I think 4 or 5 of us finished. Because it's hard. It's hard, but it's easy. When you love somebody, it's easy. It's that simple. You love somebody, it's going to be easy to do the will of the Lord and Savior. You're going to be, sometimes people are cruel in this world. Remember, Satan is out trying to destroy you. And he uses people. He uses things to destroy you. And people are cruel. They don't care about anybody else. Look at the situations in this world. They use you, and eventually they leave you. But Christ says, I will never leave you. You can go through thick and thin, but I'm going to be there with you. That's why he says, my peace I give you. And then it says, in the world, you will have tribulations. Look at the situation of the world right now. And it's not just the United States. Everywhere in this world, there's tribulations galore. They're going through a lot of situations, but it's Satan that's trying to destroy that. In the world, you will have tribulations. So that should help us understand that Christ is telling the truth. And then it says those beautiful words, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Doesn't make no difference what you're going through. And I know a lot of us are hurting right now in one way or another, spiritually and physically. We're hurting. But then Christ says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Eventually, we will be at peace with Him forever. And isn't that what we want? That's what I want. That's why he says, in the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let me see if I can find that other verse I love those verses. They're real nice. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Does someone have it? Please read it. Who wants to read it? Raise your hand. Brother and Cecil.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Thank you, brother. Look at that. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What can the world do to you? Or what is the world doing to you that might destroy you if you do not continue faithfully until the end? Think about that. And believe me, a lot of us go through a lot of things in this world, a lot of hurt. But be of good cheer. Let the peace of God dwell in you. Let the peace of God continue in you, and you continue on safely on the way home. Always remember this. And you know, I love to pray. I want to ask you a question, and please raise your hand because I want to hear the answer. What does prayer do for you? I want your response. What does prayer do for you? Raise your hand, please.
It strengthens me to have that connection with my Father.
Okay. But God already knows your problems. See, that's the situation. But, you know, sometimes we as parents know that our kids need this, but we feel good when they ask us for them, right? And it gives you strength. And a lot of us need a lot of strength to continue on in this world. We need to pray. You know, I always tell everybody, I have a little humble home that I live over here at. And I always tell everybody, this is your home. But then I tell them, don't take nothing. Okay? It's your home, but don't take nothing. You're going to say, well, it was my home, so I took it. No. It's a humble home. This is your home, but don't take nothing. But I have a little area on the side of my wife's woman cave. She's got a woman cave. So I have the brother that fixed that area for me, he put a long bench from one side to the other. And I go and sit right there, about halfway through that bench. And it's about a 14, 15 foot bench all the way. And then I look up. I see the sky. I see the moon. I see the stars. And I'm going to tell you, I see God, but I know He's up there. And I talk to Him. I talk to the Holy Spirit and I ask Him, Lord, help me. Live through me. Give me peace of mind. Help me do what is pleasing to you. I know you are with me at all times. Guide me, protect me, and help me, dear Lord, so I can continue on safely in this world. Prayer is an instrument that every Christian should use at every moment. You don't have to say it out loud. You might be driving in the car and you can be talking to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. You might be, how many times have I been laying down in bed? It's like this morning, like I told you, I woke up at 1:30 in the morning and I was still studying the Word. And I would pray to Him, guide me, dear Lord. Help me. Help me do what is right according to your will. It's important, brothers. It's important that we understand that we don't have to give up. Don't give up. I don't care what you're going through. One of these days you're going to be at peace with our Lord and Savior. The Lord will never leave us. He is our helper. He will be there for us. And to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you what one of the apostles told Christ. To whom shall we go? Brothers, we don't have nobody else. You know, I used to confide in my parents. My mom and dad are there. But all of a sudden, a big divorce came. So we were left out in the cold. But you know what? The Lord will never divorce us. He is there for us. The only way He will divorce us is if we, the church, leave His word. That's the only way He will. If you don't believe me, there were seven churches in the book of Revelations, okay? If you don't think the Lord will get rid of them, where are they now? Huh? Think about that. They eventually they all strayed away. It can happen to us. It can happen to you and me. So don't give up. The Lord will be there for us. He will protect us. He will guide us. He will help us continue on. I always love those verses where Christ says, I will give you a helper. Talk to the Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Christ says, I will send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He will be there. He will guide you. He will protect you. He'll remind you of the things that I have said. He's there for us. Look for Him. Trust God. Trust God that He will help us get out of the mess sometimes we put ourselves in. You know, some of us are hurting not only spiritually, okay, but in our body. It's like, you know who said that she was hurting all over her body? Sometimes we we put ourselves in that situation, okay? I don't blame God for the situation I find myself in physically. I blame myself. And I let Him know, Lord, it was my fault. I can assuredly tell you that I wasn't doing good when it happened. So think about that. We have to be careful. But trust God, He will get us out of the mess we have put ourselves in. I was going to say something about Job, but Ron beat me to the punch. But it's okay. That's how we learned. Poor Job. But you know, if you look at Job's story, it's a beautiful story. You know, the Lord told Satan, have you seen anybody like Job? And then Satan, of course, uses other items and says, of course he's fine. You give him everything he wants. So the Lord gave him permission to do what he needed to do. And he did it. Job went through a lot of situations, physically speaking. But at the end of all the trials, and he managed this here in this earth, he received, I want to say, about twice the blessings that he had before he even started, or all this started. So maybe you've lost a lot of things for Christ. I know a lot of people that have given up different situations to continue on. Let me tell you something about, I've got a few minutes, so let me talk about, you know who Poncho is? Okay, everybody knows Poncho. He's the one that gave us the sermons on the, what do you call that, gospel meeting. Eddie Poncho. Not a lot of people know this, but he used to be a professional plumber. He was a licensed plumber. When I met Poncho, I don't know how many years ago, he drove up to my house, and they stayed there because we went to church. We were going to church, so they stayed there, but he drove up in an old truck, had everything for plumbing and everything. He gave all that up. And at the beginning, I know it hurt him. I know it hurt him because I stayed with him for 6 months, him and Aurora, him and Aura. We call her Aura. I stayed there with him for about 6 months. And we were hurting food-wise. It's hard being a student at the church, at the school. So we give a lot of things up for Christ. So I don't care what you or I or anybody has given up for Christ. Christ will repay you or give you back, if not in this world, in heaven, to be with him forever. That's what I want. You know that beautiful, I keep reminding myself of that verse where Christ says, it's better for, and I'm quoting it, okay? It's better for you to enter into heaven lacking an eye or different parts of your members than fully equipped into hell. So think about that. I don't care what you have lost for Christ. Eventually, you will receive it sevenfold. And the Lord will bless you. You will benefit a whole lot more on the side of Christ than you do any other place. Let's hurry up and go to Hebrews right away. Is that time, brother? 1 minute. Okay. I saw some fingers go up. I don't know if it was 5 minutes or 1 minute. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And I'm going to read those. It reads this way. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content such as things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember what Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says. He will be with us. Now read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. 4, 15 and 16. And it reads this way. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but has in all points tempted, and we are yet without sin. And he was yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in the time of need. Think about that. We hit it right on the money. Hopefully the Lord will bless each and every one of us. Let's continue on safely until the end, okay? That's the end of my study. Brother Ron, would you move the pulpit over there, please? Thank you, sir.